think the fact that the policymakers get all excited indicates that that may be a very good communication tool.
Our last speaker is Susan Andrews from NRCS, you're USDA ARS now, are you? No.
No, I'm NRCS.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
The pointer's right there.
Okay. Good afternoon. I am going to attempt to talk a little bit about over six projects that we have on various indicators and both for research and for education. And I have much more information on my poster in back and a lot of handouts there, so I'm going to go very quickly and try to adhere to that 5 minutes deadline that we've. But I'd like to acknowledge all of my co-authors here and the multiple agencies and universities. So we've got not only NRCS, ARS, North Carolina A&T, and West Virginia University. So what I'm really hoping to have you take home today is that there are multiple uses for indicators, from education to assessment, monitoring, inventory, and the same indicators are not appropriate for all uses. And for education, we do quite a bit of education in NRCS. We at the national level are typically training our field staff. The state level does the same thing. And then they, in turn, are going to be training farmers. One of our primary tools, I'm assuming this red button, is the soil quality test kit. I have one in the back that you can look at. One thing that I've noticed over the years of training this is that people are overwhelmed by this kit, that there's so much to do and it would take 8 hours. And so what we've done is we're really trying to modify our training so that people are understanding that again, you figure out what your question is, and then you pick and choose which parts of the kit to use based on what your question or need is. And so we do that by introducing them to the kit, also to health cards and several other demonstrations that I also have in the back. And then the second day we go out in the field. First day we go out and use all of this so they're familiar. Second day we go out, give them a problem, and let them pick and choose what to do so that you know, message is really taken home. So, and another project that's led by Dr. Cindy Stiles in the back and Rich Ferguson and others is to take the Weil et al. Active carbon test and make a kit version of that that's really a portable chem lab that's not targeted to farmers. It's really targeted to soil scientists or qualified advisors, where they can basically replicate the laboratory version of the kit of the tests, but in their office, in field, and in office. Assessment and monitoring that are certainly two uses for that kind of a level of indicator. And you may remember this from Janice's talk. Basically, my point here is that there may not be a lot of difference between the two in the types of indicators. I think probably the biggest difference you might see depends on the time scale. Because for assessment, it might be a one-time only, and then you have to have a snapshot in time and you can find the steady state for the alternatives that you're looking for. Or if it's a short term, you need to have fast pools. If we're talking about carbon, which is certainly the indicator du jour. But if you have a long time, then you could definitely look at total carbon as an example. But again, the time scale is certainly something to consider. One thing that you may not be familiar with, certainly inventory in general, is something that we at NRCS do with our natural resources inventory. We're now beginning or have underway a new update activity for soil change, and it will be part of soil survey, and it's looking at those properties that change at the human time scale, and we're going to be comparing land use and or management for individual math unit component phases. And unfortunately not all of the, so this here's is one soil math unit component, and you can see under different land uses, range here, cropping here, there's a lot of variation, and you can see the differences as you go from one soil type to the next. And again, one challenge is identifying the steady state when you go out there. If you want to compare tillage to no-till, you don't want to go out there in year three of a no-till plot. You need to know when things have reached their upper asymptotic state, their steady state. Unfortunately, something happened when I uploaded this, but you can't see that quite as well. The white background on the second one disappeared. But spatial variability is another thing that we're tackling, and that's particularly important with that inventory because we're trying to look at map units over the entire extent over which they occur. And so this is a project underway by Eugenia Penna-Yetaku and et al. And she's looked at a number of indicators. I'm just showing one here. She's also used the test kit and laboratory analyses. And in the particular watershed that this data came from, and she's doing it in three different watersheds, this one was the Choctaw, she couldn't find a lot of variation in management. And so she ended up looking at corn soybean in either continuous no-till or discontinuous no-till. So they were doing no-till corn and then tilling the beans in. And the thing to see, this is probably too small, but this is semi-variance. And the idea here is what she's found is the variance is much higher in the spatial variability is much higher under the discontinuous no-till. And as similar as these are, to have that kind of a difference, which means you'd need many more samples in order to get a representative idea of what's happening there. That's really something to be thinking about as we're taking our inventory or doing assessments or monitoring for that matter. So again, temporal variability, and that also makes biological indicators difficult to interpret. So that brings me to that elusive minimum data set, which is something that everyone has. There's quite a bit of agreement, but everyone has a pet indicator or what have you. And one of the things that we did over the last year or so, led by Sky Wills et al., was to come up with a minimum data set by using a ranking method where we asked over 40 experts to rank indicators according to their relationship to function, their accuracy, their fluctuation over time, and I think that's what killed the biological factors, and cost practical approaches. And you can see these are these here are the eight that made the cut, but you can see there's a lot of agreement here. And they were looked at in several different ways by specialty and all sorts of things. And we used a rank order centroid method. So again, the take home is you have to match your tools, your indicators with the specific use, the question, your skill level, spatial and temporal scale of a project. And one of the things that we're working on right now is developing indicator fact sheets that tell you exactly what the relationship is to function, and as we get a set together, we put together a matrix like this, and that helps users choose, hopefully wisely, what indicators so that they are using their time appropriately and get the answers that they need. So please come back and I can add to the poster and I can answer any further questions. Thank you.
Okay, first I wanted to thank all the authors, both for their creativity and their amazing resilience under pressure, getting organized to come to this session. So I invite you now, in a moment, to engage with them, see their materials, touch it, talk about it, and hopefully you can find some useful information to take home and use in your own circumstances. I also wanted to thank S11, in particular Kurt Checo from the EPA, who was brave enough to sponsor this session. Bianca, do we have a sign-up sheet?
I will make a sign-up sheet. We would love to have any of you who are interested in having this kind of session be fully supported so that we could actually get these materials here. Give us your email address, and we're hoping to put together some sort of letter to the societies that says here you don't have a large turnout, and we would love to have the full displays and soil and water demonstrations and all that, and here's a set of people who would love to have this kind of thing happen, and then maybe we can get some real support for another year to actually do that. So I'll have a sign up maybe back at my poster, and everybody please come and give us your email address.
And final thanks go to Bianca, who is more the organizing force, keeping us on track for this session. So thank you, Bianca, for all of your help as well. So one of the easiest ways to split the room down the middle and have you engage these authors on this side, and you guys engage these authors on this side, and then we'll just see how we can move about, not to crowd each display, so that you can see each display.
I have stuff. And the other third came up.
Can you bring some more slides? You can analyze.
No, I don't have an import permit anymore.
I can
give
you.
You have a permit?
Lal has a permit. Lal has a permit. I can give
you. I can send this to your lab,
yeah.
As long as you audit the soil when you're done.
Yeah, I can give you from Lal and be happy to do that.
Thank you. Like you have enough soils probably, except
no.
Maybe Andesol don't work too.
African soil, mostly Malawi and Zimbabwe you got, but we don't have other. South Africa, I thought I'd get some. I got a lot of Brazilian soil, Asian soil.
I use this also in class, but it makes a good. I used to do wampy blacks, believe it or not, when I graduated. That was, well, it must be nuts. The worst they could do with this one is stain their clothes. All right, why don't we see if we can get some more. I can send you this.
Oh, that would be great.
PDF
asked
form. This is the procedure.
Oh, yeah. I asked him, do we need to.
The feet's a little different. This is a more simplified version.
Oh, yeah.
This could actually give you research quality results in the field. The expensive part to this one is this little bit that's in by.
I've got all of these supplies.
You have a different box.
This is Jeff Rebo, that's the county agent in Lancaster County.
Oh, great. Is that a Lancaster County?
We were up at Steve Glass last week.
I was in Kenya, actually. Otherwise, I would have been there. Yeah, he asked me to speak, but I wasn't around. I'm glad to see that he's doing. He hasn't done a big field day in a while. He used to do them all the time. So, you know, one of the things that's happened is stuff is available if you look around at incredibly cheap prices, and they turn out to be really accurate. I walk around in Africa with a little pH meter and stir up soils, and you get really good quality pH readings out in the field. pH in an agro-ecosystem setting, where you're not changing climate, very sensitive indicator. Stuff like this, kitchen gardens, you know, they have all the nutrients. So if you look in the gun catalogs, sportsmen that are loading, you know, their shells, they have a market for commercial scale. These are very accurate little scales.
Like $25 instead of $1,000 for a scientific scale, and they're very small and easily portable.
So I do want, this is a field kit, but I'm trying to get research quality results. If you're trying to, you know, it's one thing to look at the difference between a field that has, you know, 50 years or more, or another one that's five, huge differences. But if you're trying to look at something like fields that are only the difference between years or cover crops, this is pretty sensitive for that. You can get this kind of sensitive.
Then you have to screen out roots and say, I mean, you get a little bit of a root in there?
No, it really doesn't react with that. This is, yeah, and I think I'm about to find out. Right now it's kind of a black box. Because there's no good way, hadn't found a good way to figure out what is it reacting with. You know, is it sugar, protein? Some of the papers are just making a ligand. I usually use some standard soils that I've run many times, so I know what they are. So I give this kit to somebody and give them a standard soil. They just buy it.
So is it cellulose?
No, I can't tell you what it is. You can do, the permanganate will not react with standard solutions of sucrose solution or something. It will react with solid. So if you use crystals and sugar, it will react with the solution. I think it actually has a standard curve which can come up with the curve. But it's not just reacting with sugar. What I did do is I ran a number of these samples in Kenya and Nairobi, and they have a very nice lab that they've developed sophisticated near and mid-infrared reflection spectrum from soils. And we're going to run the spectrum before and after the test. We end up with soil down the bottom too. And that way, so I hope to have an answer to what it's reacting with in real soil. These manganese reactions are
running out.
The moisture content, it has to be fairly dry. Yeah. So, you know, if it's dry weather, surface soil is easy to get. Otherwise, they do with moist soil. So these are two of my standard soils. This is actually a banner from Ralph's Farm. And that's sort of one of the high standards. And this is a Mattapan's Farm. So it's similar texture. We call it the Plainer Maryland crop field. And then this one is a very standard one.
Works
properly. long way to just scoop it out of the bag. Expensive part of everything is just nickel design. I use this as my volumetrics. This is probably the limitation of the scanning methods. I think obviously these aren't going to be highly accurate. They're pretty darn good. Still getting within my passion. This is the expensive part. I'm sure they could manage much more than much less, but it's proprietary. It's a very high quality piece of equipment. I've had these glass veneers, and I never really need them calibrated. I used to do standard curves. I now just use the one. I do a 1-point calibration. After, you know, once a day, I'll run the without the soil. No, 2.5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't worry too much about that last
digit. Okay.
You know, there's no sense getting that accurate to within less than 1%.
Let me go back to that one. That's a terrible one.
We'll do this set and you'll get an idea. Because this is a fairly... This is an excellent quality soil. It's almost any final one.
But this would probably read high in most places.
No,
the fact that they tell it, but they're still putting 10,000 gallons of milk on, so they're saying I don't know about
your probably. Oh, yeah. He uses a little bit of it. He doesn't use a lot. He puts a little bit. But there's a lot of nitrogen mineralizing out of the soils. We grow cover crops in the fall. Without fertilizing the cover crops, we have a deep root cover crop. Easily pull up 180 pounds in the fall. There'd have to be a lot of mineralization to the plants.
Looking at what part of the carbon is actually
measured. I was just explaining that I finally figured out a way to it's always been a black box because the manganese reaction is very finicky.
So I wish you had a 10 gallon
surface reaction. You can't sort of just try to react to the manganese reactor. So it's not relevant to what you're doing in the soil. But we have some samples of water in the lab in Kenya. He's using near.
That's what I'm doing now.
We're going to run the spectrum before that.
But sometimes you want to go on a field, this fresh field, and you don't want rain on it.
Just came back from there a couple years ago. But I think we'll be able to do tracking the spectrum.
So what I do is
give you a better idea. That should give us a very good idea, I hope. Very well, thanks. I don't know, but I'm convinced it is not very valuable. Just because it makes sense. And it's very responsive to you. That is very knowledgeable. Okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and keep going. That's all. Yeah, we could do two, but weighing the sample is probably the. Well, you could scoop it, but there's sometimes really big differences in both places. Scooping it would really throw it to the point where it would be much harder to find the differences on the soil that might be changed in all kinds of things, which is often the case when you know, when you tell the organic matter and structure. So I just wanted to use two. We have sort of a dirty set and a clean set. And the dirty set is going to get the concentrated solution to shake up with the soil. and then you can, after delivery, you can take a little bit of this. And where are all the, you know, my high price? These things are also amazing. You can get a very awesome one mil sample.
So I talk well about all of
them. It's really not bad at all. A whole lot cheaper than a $300. So that's all we need is two of these.
Not near as much as I.
I've already got the distilled water in there, so we zero the extra distilled water. And this is so stable that probably last time I used this was in a can. And I'm betting that I can put the distilled water in and still get a regrow properly. I'm just really impressed with this little instrument. The batteries don't seem to ever. I can't recall if I did. This was the last soil I read, the last historical. 0.883. And so without recalibrating it, just for the hell of it, I'm going to need to distill water.
Need to be in that style vial?
Yeah, it does.
Got the white.
So,
underneath.
I mean, that's close enough to zero for me. That's, travel on the airplane from Kenya, it's been, you know, it's this little instrument is just, it's energy light for it. It's just really, really stable. It seems to be saving me every time. 0.001. I'll recalibrate, I'll re-zero, but that's, to me, there's so many measurement errors that are worse than that.
What's it at retail for? Do you remember?
What?
Do you remember what it retails for, the hawk?
Yes, yeah, it's expensive because it's right, you know? I mean, it's not, if this were a consumer item, it'd be what, $19? Right? You know, it's kind of a cell phone charger or something. It's really not that sophisticated. But it's a, one company. Really not a competitor like this. You have to get their generic. They make these for this to run their tests. They have all kinds of things going on. They program this one, this user program. It's just one way. It's the 550. And it's over $300. Sure that the manufacturing costs are way, you can't play it. I suspect if, I talked to the NRCS once and I thought they could get a pulse order, which is probably just a price thing. So that's the expensive part. Rafiq has a calling shop.
Can I get two tubes?
These tubes? Actually, you need two tubes?
Yeah, just two tubes, that's pretty good.
For clean or for the shake soil?
That shake, yeah.
I could give you, I'll give you two. I'm doing five. You're lucky. I'm only doing five samples because I have no tubes to do seven. That's a spare tube. I don't carry a spare tube. So I'm going to do five here. All right, the weight out? Good. So the next step is when we have some of we're going to make our working solution so that I don't have to carry too much bulk with me. This is, I think the NRCS actually distributes the crystals. The crystals are, I think they weight them out as a little capsule. I'm using a stock solution. This is kind of like about 64 samples. So that, what I like to do is transfer 2 mils of this into here and dilute it this way. That's why I have a source. I like to add, and this, and just change the tube to this. I like to add about 15 mils of the water. Shake it. So that I can use that dilute solution to wash out the pipette. It just makes it a little more accurate. I keep trying to do simple things that will improve the accuracy. There's no question there's a certain operator skill effect here that the first time you do it might not get great results. This is the ionized water, but I have, like the book said, you can use the drinking water. It doesn't have to be often used just so that I have the same water when I'm in working carry a bottle of drinking water. It's also nice to have some water to drink if you're out there and you need to. You want to carry drinking water, but at least it's similar water from bottles.
So now we're still seeing the rotation.
And so we're just going to take a mill and we're going to do it twice. Now we got one mill marked. Yeah, so it's real easy, and then I'm just going to wash it out with a dilute solution. So it leaves a little in the tubes, but if it's the dilute solution, it's 20 times less. It becomes negligible.
Can you sink in 5 seconds? Can I ask you a question?
As long as you keep track of whether I put one or two in. Because it's purple and so dark that I can't really tell if I've lost track. Yes, what's the question?
I just wondered about the Draeger tubes. I mean, that's active carbon too, right?
No, that's respiration, which to me is very problematic. Why do you want to measure soil respiration?
Why not?
I know how to interpret this. I've got enough of these and enough different things that can tell you that if you get a result using this method.
Obviously, your water content.
It's above 800, you've got a great soil. You're probably not going to find, the way I interpret it is like a soil thing. If you're up around 700 or 800, it's very unlikely that anything you do to increase your organic matter is going to pay off in the short term that you're going to see a result. If you're down below 200, almost anything you do, you know, cover crop, mulch, a little manure, is going to probably pick. Is that the second one? Is that the one? Do you have to keep track?
That's the first one.
Okay, because that I knew that would work out. I'll talk a little more.
So what is organic matter content would you recommend this up to?
I was going to say you could do it on histosols, but you know it doesn't react very well with most of the carbon on histosols. It's all stable. So, I don't have any upper version. Eventually you'll use up, you won't get any color. If soil is,
have I had this happen?
I used the original method was 5 grams of soil, and that could happen. You go to a really nice field with a lot of manure and compost for a long history, and someone's got to be intensive garden or something, and you match it. I haven't had that happen since I've cut the soil. And so all of the Cornell work, it's all done on 2.5 grams. And that's important because you need to clearly get much higher levels. It's not, because it's a bleaching reaction and you're looking at the difference, you can't, and this is a mistake in the original paper, I've changed it in the reference and out. I deliberately thought, well, you know, if you max out, you just cut the sample in half and you change the math, right? Well, no, not really. The math doesn't change it. You can't just change the weight of the soil sample. See why? It's a bleaching reaction, right? So you're looking at the difference. It's the difference between the unreacted solution and the reacted solution. And so that difference isn't the same along the scale. The effect of doubling your sample doesn't have the same effect on a high soil as it does on a low soil. So I try to be better to reduce the sample size. So we're going to sit here and talk about the next book. We've done 5 samples. You know, so a farmer could be preparing different fields and stuff. And I think they get an idea from visual research. And they're all from the same. You said no.
How many mills are you at?
I'm adding it twice, 1 mill each.
So are you, and you said you made it up to 15, so you're at 16 mill, or you still?
I didn't make it up that accurate.
Not that accurate. Okay.
I'm pretty sure you only put one in that for number four.
I do this right.
That's what I
do.
You do this without talking to
everybody. I think number four needs one.
Well, he definitely, I looked, he shook his head like he had been watching.
Do you know the answer on this one already, so we know
that? No, I don't. Actually, that's a shame. And at this stage, the color went into
at least we'll see differences.
I don't think we'll be able to see the difference in the color at this stage because it was so dark. Some of these are twice as dark as the other. I'm going to go with that. This one, shows ridiculously high amount of carbon. Because these are the same soil, and the only difference is there's one set of cover crops. It was taken 9 years after the cover crop. Oh, the fall, these are fall, the cover crop. So there's a huge difference, isn't there? We might detect a small difference, but it's not going to be huge.
Do you think NRCS then should go to this method instead of the Draeger tube method? They have a so-called
test. If they're measuring, yeah, this is unfortunate. This, I think this should be the so-called quality tube. Okay. Instead of it, yeah. The Draeger, I was going to say, so. So what do you do? Is high soil respiration a good thing?
I know, I struggle with this.
Yeah, I mean, how do you interpret the numbers?
Well, the other thing is, you always have different starting soil temperatures and moistures, too.
Oh, yeah,
if you're comparing a couple things, nothing's exactly the same.
Really,
you start with dry soil, fixed amount of water.
I think it's I'm going to bring these up to the
tillage practices, reducing them, and it's maybe 3 years later, and he wants to compare what it's doing, and it's 4 points organic matter percentage.
You, you probably wouldn't see the organic matter percentage, would you? But you would see that almost certain that if you stop tillage, and especially
reduced,
including the carbon footprint, reduce tillage, well, if it had an effect on the if it had enough effect on the active carbon for change, things like aggregate stability, this correlates quite well with aggregate stability, especially if you account for texture. The aggregates are so texture-related that it really helps to. In the Cornell system, in the Cornell soil test, they have a separate calibration chain for the first texture and final texture. But it's quite well correlated. That's what they use for mineralizable nitrogen.
You didn't bring up the
lion tube, right? I do have the lion tube, yeah. That's probably the, you know, obviously using it. What I do in my lab is I have the litters, and I can set two wells and 18 wells. Well, it's a good thing to get better than I need to do. It's quick, and, but that's all it's going to do.
I have another question.
Uh-huh. So we're going to camp these, and we're not going to well, we're going to swirl them and make sure it's mixed up. Now we're going to add the soil, so you can go ahead and bring the soil and do it. Those are labeled, right? And these are labeled, so as to not to create confusion, let me change these around, because right now you haven't labeled that one, and I'll put them in your order. So three stays to change, that's our trick here. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and just, you know, weigh both are nice because you're just squeezing.
Okay, so you've got to make
sure. Right, that's probably what I was planning to do. By the way, let me switch again. Remember the angle? Okay. And then we'll cap them. And then we do have to do the shake has to be pretty precise. If you shake it longer, more vigorously, you're going to get more reaction. So with a 2 minute shake, it's 2 shakes per second, RPMs, of course in the lab you do it. I do it horizontally, you take one of these rags, just strap it on horizontally, and you'll get a good sloshing shake. So we're going to do that with the lotion. Okay? So you don't have to be,
Pass it on to someone else. Are we handshaking?
The what?
I'm sorry, these are just horizontal.
So don't shake them together. We're going to shake them all together. Yeah, you can cover them. We're going to shake them in a group so they all get the same shake. And one thing I found is it's manganese very, very tricky chemistry. Surface chemistry and I found that if you shake it again, you often completely wipe out the color. After we do our 2 minute shake, we're going to rest for a few minutes. The permanganate has calcium chloride in it.
get a name of rock or so have a clear solution to get a new contract. Suck off $500,000. Figured I'm going to leave, bring it up to 50 mil, still bought it, but it was really diluting it down to as much as you can leave. And at that point, you could skip this if it's a demonstration, it isn't much sense. The rest of the stuff is tenure. So you could skip this and you can. Big differences you can see, but the difference due to 1 or 2 years of full exchange of the FAC. Manured versus not manured, you probably could see.
Wonderful.
And there's probably about 20.